My name is Kathy Riedel. I am the program director for the Clerks program. How many of you have attended this seminar before? One, two. How many are here for their very first TMCEC seminar? No? Okay. All right. So who's from West Texas? That makes the rest of you procrastinators, right? Okay. I joined TMCEC in December, filling the sacred shoes of Margaret Robbins, who was with the center for 20-some-odd years. And I've been in private practice. I've practiced municipal law. I've served as a city attorney and as a judge in the city of Liberty Hill, where I live now. I serve as a judge. Now it's gone. So I thought if I ignored it. I think that this isn't on the slideshow. Dang, it's so easy. All they do. Okay. So I've worked as a judge, as a prosecutor, and with four children, I've worked as a defense attorney more times than I care to count. So I've been around municipal court quite a while. But this was a good change of pace for me to come work with all the judges and the clerks. And, you know, I thought I knew a thing about municipal court until I started working with the clerks and looking at the clerks' study guides, looking at the other part of that elephant, that I had a firm grip on the trunk. And so for the last 6 months, I've been learning what the rest of the elephant looks like. So if you haven't called or come by and introduce yourself, please do that. I'd like to get to know you. Back to it. This is my year's favorite photo because as learning, I had no idea clerks had to file with the OCA, with the comptroller, with DPS. So this kind of summed up the theme for me. You want me to file what? Where? Anybody feel like that? Okay. All right, we're going to talk about what does DPS want us to file regarding young people, kids. So to determine that, first we've got to determine who are we talking about. David Endorf has in his materials, a kid is a baby goat. So let's define who are we talking about. So in the family code, how do we define child in the family code? Anybody? How old do you have to be? 16, under 17? What about the education code? 18 on that. You can be emancipated, but you still have to go to school. What about the penal code? I have to... Right. So it depends what code we're dealing with. Who we're talking about, what the offense is, before we can determine how we're defining this young person standing in front of us and what we do with them. So we've got the family code defining child as from age 10 to 16. The education code, got to go to school up to age 18, so you can charge failure to attend school for 18 and to age 6. There was a bill to make that age lower than 6, but it didn't go anywhere. So the transportation code, we're not defining child anymore, we're defining a minor. What about alcoholic beverage code? Under 21, and what are we calling that young person? That's a minor. Okay, so we've got transportation code, alcoholic beverage code. It's a lot to keep up with. Health and safety code. Why do we care about health and safety code? Yes, ma'am, tobacco, and that's age 18 and younger. So once we determine who we are, who we're dealing with, what we're dealing with, then we can determine where we go from there. This is some information that Crystal found based on a study. And is there anyone here that works just particularly with the juveniles, minors, young people? Yes, what court are you with? Midland, okay, so a good size. And what is your position with them? That narrows it down. Okay. So I may not be telling you one thing you don't already know today. Let me see a show of hands for small courts a lot of small courts here. So you wear a lot of hats. If you're dealing with these folks, according to this study, outlook on our little millennials, their outlook is hopeful. And nod or raise your hand if you agree with these. I tell you what, raise your hand if you don't agree with this definition of our kids. Their work ethic is questionable. Is she disqualified? Let's see, my number two child was born in 82. Well, that's view of authority is confrontational. We've got a litmus test over here. Self-reliant, tech-savvy. I don't think any of us can disagree with that. No, tech-savvy. Don't tolerate intimidation. These are pretty generalized. I saw On the Waterfront, that old Marlon Brando movie last week. Stayed up till 2 a.m. watching that. And I think probably any of these descriptors could have described them in the 1940s as well. Major turnoff is authority, and they're success-oriented. So a lot of general. All right, that kind of fits in with work ethic questionable. When they come to court, they're not coming as happy campers generally anyway. So they may, I think authority, you as an authority figure might be an issue for some. But these are some generalizations of this troublesome millennial group we're dealing with. Okay, here I've inserted this. Crystal tells me, and I'm taking on her program here, we've worked on it together, but she said for me to interject at this point that at the end of the class, and I'd better start talking faster, I am awarding this prize to the best juvenile story. My Midland clerk has an advantage. She's probably got more of them. Best juvenile story. Now, I was very selective in picking the color of this little bear, Gingham. So this is the prize, and I stuck this slide in there to remind me about that. So getting on to DPS reporting, what do we have to report? Who in here does the DPS reporting for their office? Okay, small courts. For yours, you have to generate the report for that? All right. So. Just the DIC 81s? Okay. You probably all. You've all done it? Anyone who hasn't done it? Oh, I was going to be an expert in somebody's eyes, so that's not going to happen, I guess. Okay. So we've worked with this. So it's a refresher course. So they want to know alcoholic beverage codes, penal codes, some offenses in the health and safety code, transportation code, education code. What forms are we going to be dealing with primarily with our kids? The DIC 15 is one you use a lot. Another one, the DIC 81. So that's what we're going to be spending most of our time talking about this afternoon. So when do you use the DIC 15? That is entitled Notice of Conviction and Suspension and Disqualification. So fairly descriptive. If you've got an alcoholic beverage code offense, you're required to report convictions by minors, folks under the age of 21. So you've got to report not only convictions, but if you've got a conviction under the alcoholic beverage code, then you've got a mandatory license suspension. So in addition to the conviction, you've got to report the suspension. And depending on which, is this the first offense, second offense, third offense, we don't have jurisdiction, but depending on which offense that is the length of time that the license is going to be suspended. And it's almost like a separate offense. The judge orders the kid, I need to find another word, but kid will be the word for, but with alcoholic beverage code, we're talking minor, so let me say minor. If the judge orders the mandatory alcohol awareness class. If the minor doesn't take that class, then it's almost like a separate offense. With separate consequences apart from the original minor in possession or whichever it was. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so her question involves a public intoxication. So does the judge have to give the alcohol awareness class? Tobacco has its separate statutory requirement that you take a class. But that's a good question because public intoxication is in the penal code. But when you read, you just can't stay with one code. You've got to be flipping back and forth because the punishment for the public intoxication, when we're talking about a minor, is found in the Alcoholic Beverage Code. The same requirements, and we'll skip ahead to this slide. So what offenses are we talking about when we're talking about Alcoholic Beverage Code? We're talking about the attempt to buy it, minor in possession, minor consumption, misrepresentation of age, but we're going to throw in that public intoxication. The penalty provisions from the Alcoholic Beverage Code are also applying to this penal code offense. It's pretty dizzying if you're trying to keep track of it. Now, the legislature, what is our little glitch, our municipal court glitch, when we're talking about public intoxication? What do we have to keep in mind? Okay, you can't file a PI. We don't have jurisdiction. If the individual is younger than 17, do we have jurisdiction? Okay, that goes to juvenile court. Guess what happened September 1st? Excuse me. The law has been changed. And tomorrow we're going to talk a little, I've got some bills I can talk to you about in our legislative update, but that is one of the bills that has been introduced and has been passed, that we're going to have jurisdiction for 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, God forbid, 10-year-olds. I think it's September 1st, yes. Either that or when signed by the governor. But that is a change we'll be talking about. Now, I wonder as a practical matter, because you've got to either, the officer's going to have to find the parent or arrest them, which you can't arrest them. So I think we'll still see the officers giving MIPs and MICs. I think it's a practical matter. That's what happens. So I'm not sure how much we'll actually see changed in our courts. So these offenses, these convictions for these offenses, if they're convicted, then the judge doesn't have discretion. The judge has to suspend the driver's license. The length of time, if it's the first conviction, is 30 days. And you have to get that conviction, that suspension goes into effect the 11th day after the conviction. Have any of y'all had any issues with this 11 days?
No, but I was just thinking of a case. We just had a case where there were four kids in a pickup truck, and they ran a stop sign, and so the policeman was stopping them for running the stop sign. Well, they turned off the lights, so, he's following them around with no lights. Turns out there are seven cases of beer in the back of the truck that nobody knew about. They were riding in the truck, but nobody saw the seven cases.
Okay.
So,
did y'all hear that? Everybody hear that? Back of the pickup truck, seven cases of beer. Oh, my gosh.
And nobody knew.
Yeah. Mom had been to Sam's, didn't tell anybody. Okay. Well, now, a deferred is, this is on a conviction, and you bring up a good point, because the judge doesn't have any discretion. If you've convicted them, you've got to suspend their driver's license. You report that on the DIC 15. If they don't take the mandatory alcohol awareness program, then that is a mandatory license suspension. here, you know, don't you feel like the legislature, judges and clerks, they're, I'm going to blow your minds tomorrow with some of the things the legislature's mandated that we've got to do. But here, the judge still has discretion on, you've got to suspend the license, but the judge has discretion on the length of time to suspend it. What I find in my experience is often the person doesn't know their license has been suspended because that suspension goes into effect on the 11th day, and then the 30 days passes. But DPS, their paperwork, back to my first slide, it's under here somewhere. So suspensions come and go often before these folks know that their licenses have been suspended.
Even if they get a deferred, like we'll give them 90 days deferred with alcohol awareness class, and they don't do their alcohol awareness class at the end of that 90 days, we usually bring them back for show cause, but at that time they should have their license suspended, correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
On a deferred. Now, I'm going to distinguish between this is where, say, the judge gave them deferred and they didn't comply. So this is an actual conviction as opposed to a probation. So here we've convicted them. But your judge does, if they don't do the alcohol awareness class within the certain time, the statute does provide that you can bring them back into court. Your judge is doing that correctly. Bring them back into court. Give them an opportunity. Can they show good cause for not complying? And if that's the case, then the judges brought them back in, and the judge can extend that time. Yes, sir?
I've got a quick question. You mentioned about the judge's discretion. A couple of weeks ago, I got a kid that got, were a minor. They got two alcohol charges, consumption and possession.
Right. Yeah, but you know that, and I'm glad you raised that. I don't do these. You know, it's not in my job description. And so you have an advantage over me of having actually processing them and sending them to DPS. But this question came up where DPS is in essence enhancing the offense. Where is a court order saying that that's the second one? A clerk brought that up to me and said, well, DPS will send it back or they'll say it's 60 days. And it threw me for a loop because I thought, well, she does it. She knows what she's talking about. But in essence, I hear DPS is doing that. DPS does not have a court order. DPS has no jurisdiction, authority to change a judge's order. Now, evidently, it's happening on more than an isolated occasion. The judge had that defendant in front of him, had all the facts in front of him, but did not enhance that, treat it like a second offense. It wasn't pled in the complaint, I'm assuming. So that's happened. I take issue with that. They don't have, where does DPS have the authority to change judge's order? I don't know, but it's happening. Yes? I hear they're doing that. I don't know where they have the authority to do that, but I hear they are doing that. Right. And we get that call on our 800 line a lot. In a small town, when you get this defendant back in, you know that this person, you know, you're more likely to know this is the third time we've seen you, young man. But in my mind, that's the prosecutor's job to bring it to, oftentimes the clerk's going to know more about it because you're dealing with the paperwork, you are at the window, you know the folks. I think that's the prosecutor's job. And that's difficult when you've got a small part-time prosecutor. But I'm going to have to bring this up with DPS. I just, you know, they do it, and getting the same answer twice is difficult. So who's experienced that, depending on who you talk to? You know, I was a judge for 5 years before I took this job and even found out that you had to report to DPS. So if you bring it to the judge's attention, I don't think that will make them happy. But how many of your judges know that you have to file these reports with DPS? But educate them. Yeah, educate them. My clerk took care of things so beautifully. Life is good. And so now I have a deeper appreciation for all of these things. Let me see how I'm doing. I'm on time here. 26, good shape. Okay, so we're still talking about convictions. If they fail to complete their community service, then again, there's the legislature wants you to take that class and that you've got to take that community service relating to alcohol awareness. The judge will must suspend, for a period not to exceed 6 months we're still talking about the first offense. So when the judge suspends the driver's license for failure to do the community service, just as failure to take the class, you're going to report it on the DIC 15. You've got to tell them when the suspension starts, when it stops, and when they get to the bottom of the pile, they'll know what to do with it. So deferred, and this gets back to your question. So the judge doesn't find them guilty of, they're not convicted, they're put on probation. Again, the DPS wants to know about it. And again, you report it, we're still talking about the DIC 15. It's deferrals are gonna go to DPS on the DIC 15, and then the same consequences as if they're convicted, that if they don't take the class, if they don't do the community service, then they're gonna get a suspension. And I don't know, do you have to file another? Do you file two DICs once they get convicted, and then if they don't take the class? It's one form. All right, well, I don't know how you keep up with that, but you've all got magic software. Who's got ENCODE? I hear, all right. So another alcoholic beverage code, DUIs, and what's a DUI? Okay, and how are we distinguishing that from a DWI? Right. Mm-hmm. Any amount, right, any amount. But it's a status offense, because if I have alcohol on my breath, I haven't committed that offense, a minor, right. And these are reported to DPS. They are reported on the DIC 15. We mentioned PI, that the same rules apply even though we find PI in the penal code. Same punishment if you don't take the alcohol awareness course or community service. Also, the transportation code. There are provisions that if you're passing a school bus loading or unloading children, and it's your second or subsequent conviction. Now, I haven't heard about DPS catching any of those. So I don't know how often that happens. But if it's your second or subsequent conviction, then the court has the discretion to order that your driver's license be suspended for up to 6 months. And because this is an offense, we're looking at the offenses where suspension of the driver's license is an option. The judge has that discretion. Then DPS wants to know about it on the DIC 15. Health and safety code. Analogous situation, of course, to the alcohol. I wasn't aware of this till I started working at the center, and I've got the big brick with me at all times. I think that possession of tobacco is the only, quote, offense, maybe in the world, where if the first time a defendant is brought to court on a possession of tobacco, a judge can't convict. Did everybody know that? You have to put them on a deferred, or you have to dismiss it if they comply. I did not know that. So it's an offense that you can't convict for. That's baffling. I understand the public policy reasoning behind it, but Lord, you know, we're just mom, dad, principal. They've got a good website. They've got some good educational tools. But here's one where you bring the defendant in. If there's a mandatory suspension, if they don't take the tobacco awareness course, that's on DIC 15. So the education code, these fall in the same category. Here we're talking about the failure to attend. Here the judge can suspend the driver's license or the child can be denied the issuance of a driver's license. And that period of time is for up to a year. I feel like I'm running through these now, I think. This is what the DIC 15 looks like. We've got it on our website. How many of you have gone to our website to look for resources, forms, things like that? Okay, about half of you. If you go to tmcec.com, we've got a resources tab. And many of you have our forms book. We're in the process of updating all those publications. But you can get all these forms, say the compliance dismissal charts are there. We've got a juvenile chart there, court cost chart there. So that's a good resource. But you will find these forms in the event you don't have them in your court. You can find those on our website. Beginning date, ending date. When our DPS folks teach this course, they like to really stress that this information be filled in. Is that right? They send them back? I don't know how they can find out that someone has two MICs, but I don't know. You know, they've got a lot of work going on, too. Okay, so that's our DIC 15. DIC 81, when are you going to use this? Yeah, I should, right, failure to appear. No, good, that's good. I need to do the animation techniques. That's exactly right. So if a minor or child does not appear in court, then the judge, you have to have a contempt hearing. Is that a frequent occurrence in your courts? Kevin? Probably in yours? Okay, so you go through the contempt proceedings. And when that is done, the defendant appears in court and complies with the court order. So first, if there's noncompliance, you go through the contempt proceeding. You're going to document that on the DIC 81. Once the defendant has complied with the court's order, and all of the restrictions are removed, then again, you're going to use the same form to show that this has been finally disposed of. So here we're strictly dealing with, if you've got an 18-year-old, you don't have a DIC 81. When a person under the age of 17 fails to pay a fine or cost, otherwise violates a court order, you're going to conduct the contempt hearing before you file the DIC 81. Or they send it back to you, I assume. Only applies to defendants under 17. You can use it for all of the offenses. They violated a court order for any of these offenses. This is another form that you'll find in our forms book or online, the show cause contempt form, I imagine you're familiar with. So what can the judge do? You've got a violation of the court order. You've brought him back into court. You're having a contempt hearing. The judge can refer that juvenile to juvenile court, find that there wasn't contempt, that there was good cause for failure to comply, and give that defendant additional time. Can fine the individual up to $500, order DPS to suspend the license, or deny issuance of the license until the defendant complies. And I think I'm restating this. This is what we're going to file on DIC 81. I think this is the same one. Crystal and I really are hammering home this point. Okay, so what's required on the DIC? Name, not a surprise. Social Security number. Address, driver's license. Again, you've got these forms in your court. The offense committed, the date, your court, obviously, cause number, telephone number. This is one DPS points out to me. Check if it's a failure to appear, contempt, failure to pay, court order violation. DPS wants to know that. I don't know what my DPS ladies stress this.
Unless they've changed it in the last month or and a half.
I don't. Anybody else know? She's saying that there's no language regarding contempt on that form.
Failure to appear.
Okay. Or failure to pay. Does it? Okay. Certify that this is the individual. Made final disposition on this case on whatever date that is, certified by your signature and title. So I ran through that pretty quickly. I want to get to your stories. Well, baby, come back. Up. All right, we're just going to spend one slide on DR 18. This is the form you use if you're going to, when you report transportation code convictions, traffic convictions, bond forfeitures on traffic convictions, teen court, DSC. And then, oddly, possession of alcoholic beverage in a motor vehicle. And I guess it's odd. It seems like that would be one like public intoxication or any of those. Pardon?
Not if you don't know that seven cases.
Right, those seven cases, that's not an offense. So, but this is not an offense where you can suspend their driver's license, so that's why we're using a different form. And theft of gasoline, now that's an odd one to throw in there. Does anybody know why we've included theft of gasoline in this list? Nope. This is one like passing a school bus. That on the second offense, if it's your second offense, then you can have your driver's license suspended. And I guess this came as a result of $4 a gallon gas. But that is going to be reported because you can get your license suspended on a second offense. Well, I want to make sure that I've got time. I want to show you see if you recognize in this clip your municipal court in this clip. But before I do this, I'm getting back to Crystal wanting to make sure I give it. Who's got a story for me? Who wants this Aggie bear? Who's got a juvenile story to share? We've heard about seven cases of beer. That's pretty good. No? So. Interesting, yeah. Is this story familiar to anybody? Did anybody hear this? Yeah. Well, what do I do?
What I do when I get there, I said, well, they'll tell you what to do. Just whatever, clean up, vacuum, whatever. He said, what I do after that? Well, you go home.
How old is this kid?
It was a couple of years back, 16, 17.
Oh, okay. Old enough. Yeah. I don't know that my number four child missed out on a few things, but he went to the airport for my number four for the first time by himself, where he did the whole process. And he must have called me 20 times. Well, where is it? You know, where do I do? Well, what do I do now? Well, you park the car. Where do I park it? That's well, you park it where it says long-term parking. What do I do next? Well, you go through security. I mean, he got it. I'm on the plane. Where did I miss out? he just didn't have. Anyway, that story reminded me of that phone call. We get several calls a week to the 800 line from, in fact, one, what was it? I don't remember if it was the county attorney or the judge who called, but it was forged community service hours. And they were trying to convince the district attorney to take that up on tampering with a government document. And to take it seriously. I don't know how that came out, but that's probably.
We got two of them that were caught smoking marijuana at the VFW doing their community service.
Ah, wow. Y'all hear that? Smoking marijuana at the VFW when you're doing your community service. Yes, ma'am. That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. Oh, golly. But there are also stories you hear where they're on their. And this, I heard the story at Rotary one day. The district judge was telling the story that the kid's on probation. You can't be by this girl. You can't drink. You can't do this. And there he is on MySpace. He's got the girl. His arm around the girl. He's got a beer, probably a bong. I don't remember the details. But everything there is just, oh, Lordy, how dumb. How dumb. Really? Okay. Anybody else had their judge hold a parent in contempt? For parents really do get defensive, and I have done that with my kid, been defensive when you really know better, but it isn't a good example to set.
Mm-hmm. He's bipolar. That's what it is. Everything he does, you know, we're supposed to just let him go because he's bipolar. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, he's IBD or, you know, and they just defend it and mm-hmm. you're picking on their kid.
Yeah.
You're just picking on it. And I tried to tell him, I said, do you realize these are the ones that are going to be in the penitentiary? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's true. You see the parents that really, no big deal. You know, this is not important. Yeah. And sometimes you're glad to see them. Oh, how's it going? Good football season. Good. Well, I'll tell one story. I had a 15-year-old in last month, and he's a big kid and kind of scary looking. You know, real angry countenance, and. So I thought, well, I had just done a class on all our discretion with deferred options. Well, I'm going to pull out my bag of tricks for this kid because I can help him. And so it was disorderly conduct, and he said the F word with a lot of those words following at school. And I said, well, who'd you say that to? He said, my probation officer. Okay, well, so it turned out he was on probation for a felony for lighting a kid on fire or something. So I thought, all right, you know, they got it under control. Nothing I can do here. Well, the next month, there's a good-sized older woman sitting on the front row, and she's sitting there just very prim, properly. And the prosecutor comes out, and he says, okay, I'm going to offer deferred on assault. Well, she didn't look like an assailant, but offer deferred on assault, pay the $60 court costs, and a $14 special expense fee. Well, that was quite unusual. Well, it turned out that this was the grandmother of that 15-year-old, and when they'd called the police because he was a runaway, and I'm not sure if the kid was in handcuffs or not, but I guess he was pulling stuff out of his pockets, and he was very disrespectful and was throwing stuff. So grandma went up and punched him flat out in the chest, closed fist. Well, she did that in front of the police chief and two other officers. So, you know, that was assault. I think that's a pretty clear case, but the prosecutor was pretty sympathetic to her having met her grandchild. So that's my story. I want to give us the opportunity to look at this, and you tell me, do you recognize your court here?
I don't know.
My millennium.
I bet you don't even know how to drive it. Oh, no.
That depends. How old are you kids?
I'm 7 3/4. I mean 1/4.
Then you don't have a license.
I have a license for my dog that runs away.
I mean a license to operate a motor vehicle.
No, sir, I guess not.
Son, don't you know it's against the law for a boy your age to take that thing out on the city streets?
No, sir.
What's your name, son?
Theodore Beaver Cleaver.
I'm sorry, Theodore. I'm going to have to give you a ticket.
You know something, Beaver? You shouldn't have taken this thing out of the garage.
This is your second violation. That will be $25 fine.
$25? Shh.
Next case, bailiff.
Wally, let's go home.
You can't now.
Now, Mr. Cleaver. Which one of you is Theodore Cleaver?
This is me.
And who is this other young gentleman?
I'm his guardian.
His official guardian?
No, he's my official brother, but he's my guardian today.
Son, didn't you realize you were supposed to bring your parents?
I guess I heard something about it. But they couldn't exactly come.
I see. They're working people.
Yeah, they work real hard. They work on a ship. They isn't here now.
And what is the name of the ship?
Tell them the name of the ship, Wally.
Well, I don't think they're working today, but I think they're sick.
Yeah, they're sick.
Boys, are you sure about this?
Right now, I'm not sure of anything.
Would you two boys mind waiting a few minutes? I think I'd like to talk to you alone.
Yes, sir. We'll wait.
Next case, Bailiff. I fail to find any extenuating circumstances here. Reckless driving is one thing we cannot tolerate in this city. That will be $50 fine or 10 days in jail. Next case, Bailiff.
Wow, that's four people he sent to jail already.
You know, Wally, no matter what happens, I'm not gonna cry.
Take it easy, Beaver.
You struck a parked vehicle, you left the scene of an accident, and you were driving with a suspended license. I see no reason for leniency here. That'll be $250 fine or 60 days in the county jail. Now I think I can talk to young Mr. Cleaver and his guardian.
That's us.
You two boys can step around up here. Violation, section 4938, vehicle code.
Mister, my parents don't work on a ship, and they're not really sick. I was just scared to bring them. I'm sorry I made it up.
I see. This is your real brother, though.
Yes, sir. He's real all right.
Well, you see, sir, our father helped us build this real late car, and then he made us promise not to take it out on the street.
Yeah, but I was there by myself with Larry Mandela, and he was eating apples. And he said, let's take a ride. And I said, I'm not supposed to take a ride by myself. And he said, you're not by yourself. I'm with you. So we took a ride.
He didn't mean to break the law or nothing. It's only a toy. The motor's only a one-lunger.
Well, you may think of it as just a toy, but the law defines a motor vehicle, and this is undoubtedly a vehicle with a motor on it, even though it's just a one-lunger.
Yes, sir.
Now, the law clearly states you must have a license to operate a motor vehicle. And I'm sure you don't want to break the law, do you?
Oh, I'm sure I don't either.
We thought you were going to put him in jail, like you did everybody else.
No, I think Theodore's learned his lesson. Haven't you, Theodore?
Yes, sir. I'm not going to take no vehicle, no place.
Well, you two boys can run along home now. We'll just expunge this from the records.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And boys, if I were you, I think I'd get rid of that car.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is that what your juvenile dockets look like? Anybody? Any takers? All right, thanks,
Mister,
very much.
You got a bother about this.
Probably short.
Well, break. Son, I think we'll just leave that up to you.
You got to see that. Thanks a lot. Take a short break and see you back here at 4-ish.